Parents talk a lot about the things that are assaulting them, the things that are making parenting more difficult. You know, the obvious ones, the culture, media, declining morals, breaking up of society. There's big bunches of them that are pretty much well known to everybody. There are others that are more subtle. There are others that past generations, I have to believe, never had to contend with because they weren't as enlightened and sophisticated as us. I put those words in quotes. Let me give you an example. Your mother, your grandfather, if you remember your great-grandfather, do you suppose that when they were raising children, they were plagued by self-doubt? Self-doubt that was rooted in the fear of doing psychological damage to their kid. Rooted in the idea that if they miscalculate, if they parent poorly, if they make a bad judgment, if they don't communicate just the right way, they will shatter their child's self-image. They will have a tattooed-faced motorcycle gang member on acid by the time he's 9. Do you suppose that prior generations, other than the last one or two, have parented under the cloud of psychological damage? Lurking behind every one of your miscues, huh? And the real entrapment is that you can't know when you did it. It happens subtly. It happens unconsciously. It happens underneath your radar, in the child's psyche, down deep, percolating to rear its ugly head when he's 26 and he leaves the faith and he becomes an atheist on the other side of the world. He hates you, never wants to see you again, and you have to wonder if it was because in the 7th grade you made him stop hanging around with that one kid, and the resentment has built ever since then. That's a pretty good series, a pretty good chain to make parents neurotic, isn't it? First of all, you take one human being, prone to frailty, prone to miscalculations, prone to erratic and inconsistent behavior. That's us. That's all of us. Take one human being. That's the first ingredient. Couple that with a kid. Same thing. Impulsive, erratic, immature, unsocialized, undersocialized, undermoralized. All right, now you got two humans like that together under the same roof. Day in, day out. There's third ingredient. Fourth ingredient, the awareness that there are certain psychological techniques that enlightened parents use. And if you don't use those techniques, such as active listening or eye messages, or time out 1 minute per year of age in the timeout chair. Never more than that. Only 1 minute per year of age. Or is it 1 year per minute of age? I get that one all confused. Or a sticker system. Do you use a banana sticker or an apple sticker? And how many banana stickers should you use? Should you use a positive reinforcement schedule or a variable ratio positive reinforcement schedule? What kind of learning curve? How do you set up a win-win situation? Ah, do you know if you're doing it right? Well, that's another ingredient. Then you got perhaps the most treacherous of all the ingredients, which is the damage is unseen. It's down inside. And it may not show itself for years, decades even. And when it does, you got to look back, scouring the past, seeing if, in fact, you did it. I just got one question. How can anybody parent like that? How can you do it? If you miscalculate, if you blow it, the kid, 12 years from now, is going to be sitting on some Springer Jr. TV show. He's been there for a week. He did a whole week by himself because of you. Talking to the camera. I'll never forget this. I was 6 years old. My mother was taking my favorite stuffed animal, the one with the eyes that just looked at me in love. She was throwing it under the truck tires, driving back and forth over it, listening to its ears grind into the concrete. I heard the cracking sound. Screaming, she'd never buy me anything as long as I'm alive if I can't learn to keep it where people won't trip over it. I was never right after that. When I was 7, I wrote my first bad check. When I was 8, I counterfeited my first school lunch token.
I don't know if you want to keep track of how many mistakes and miscues you're going to make as a parent, because they add up real fast. I know mine are beyond counting right now. And, fortunately, in a loving home with loving parents trying hard to do their very best, the good moves, and the good news, of course, is that by and large, the good moves far outweigh the bad moves. And secondly, what is often called a bad move is not a bad move. It's a good move. An expert might call it a bad move. They might not like that you did that. So what? They're not raising your kid. They may not approve of your rigid moral system. But you do. That's what you want to teach your son. So your moves are good, but they would be rated as bad by certain conventional, secular, enlightened opinion. But they're not mistakes. You can't fear mistakes and be a good parent. It's not possible. You're a parent like you're walking on eggs. You'll wonder about everything you do. You'll second guess. You'll be insecure. You'll be tentative. And you know, if you're tentative, you're in big trouble. Because you cannot make the tough decisions you have to make now. You cannot make the judgments that you know in your gut are right, because you're looking around you and so many people are thinking differently. But there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. You just don't have the confidence to do it. Because what if you make a mistake, huh? What if you blow it? What if the kid has resentment toward you because your standards are higher than 99% of other folks? Stand strong. You will be rewarded. I've seen it over and over and over again.